This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
All right, listeners. Welcome back. It may or may not have been a week since you've tuned in because we are releasing this two-part series. We do have a listener on the show, Shannon. She wanted to get into the short-term rental game. So she purchased a vacation rental down in Snowshoe. Mm-hmm. What state is that in?
West Virginia.
Shannon is here. Shannon, welcome back. You have what happened. You know what happened to the story. We are so excited to find out. Okay. First things first, did you close? Do you own the property?
We do.
Congratulations.
That was a little bit of an adventure. We should have closed at the end of 2020.
Okay.
But like I think I mentioned on our previous chat, I didn't follow my own advice.
Okay.
And I did not use a lender local to the area.
I used
a lender that I've worked with a ton before, and they had a location down there.
Okay.
But what I should have done was listen to my realtor.
Who was local? Because we did go over that in the first episode about you finding a local good realtor.
A local good realtor. And she had told me, she's like, you should probably use somebody small and local down here. And I'm like, oh, I'll be good. I love this lender. There's a branch down there. So I ended up having to go with a credit union down there because of it being West Virginia. And like a resort type place, the condominiums aren't like your standard condominiums like you'd buy, you know, here in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So there was documents that my lender needed, they weren't familiar with, and it didn't fall within their guidelines. So everybody worked super hard to try to get it done by the end of December, but it just did not come together. And I ended up having to switch lenders and went with a lender that my realtor down there told me I should have worked with in the first place.
Can I ask a question before we even move further? So is that bad? Because in the first episode, we had talked about how you'd already been a pre-approved and you'd talked to your lender. Does that end up being a rub between between you and the lender at all? Is that something that happens? Is it just like the business goes elsewhere? How does that unravel?
You know, it happens. And because I do have a really good relationship with that lender, they were very open with me. Mm-hmm. And I knew the whole time what was going on. And probably I was making phone calls and stuff as well, trying to help work out the situation, trying to get them the info they needed. And it just wasn't coming together. And so I called my loan officer and I just told him, I'm like, give it to me straight. I'm like, do I need to go somewhere else to make this happen? Because the pieces you need don't seem to exist. And he told me, he's like, yep. Go ahead and make that phone call. He goes, because we're doing everything we can and it just does not seem to be coming together.
And listeners, if you remember, Shannon is a licensed real estate agent. So she has a lot of experience with home buying and lenders. And she was in deep on this one, knows what she's doing. All right. So you finally closed.
Mm-hmm.
And
when did you close?
Yes. What date was that?
February 5th.
Oh, wow. Way later than you thought.
Because we had to start completely over.
Oh, gotcha.
The only thing we didn't have to do again were inspections because we had already gotten past that point, but we had to have the appraisal and everything done again. And the real estate market in West Virginia is as crazy as it is here in Ohio. And so, yeah, it took about 40 days, 45 days. And that was with us already having all our finance, you know, we were already, we knew we'd be approved. That wasn't a problem, but just timing on getting the appraisal done and that sort of thing. It just takes time.
Okay. So you closed on February 5th. It is yours. Mm-hmm. Did you do any prep work in January? Did you just sit tight and hit the ground running after you closed? Tell us what happened in terms of making the property yours.
So we took your advice from the podcast that we've listened to, and we went and stayed actually in December. The seller was really awesome. We wanted to go down because before that time, the only thing we had done was actually walk through and viewed the property. So we wanted a couple nights to stay and take inventory of everything. I printed out my thanks for visiting checklist.
Nice.
Yes. Nice.
And
Shannon has not been paid, by the way.
No, she has not.
No, I have not been paid, I promise. But doing it for the first time, you need something to start with, right? Like I can go through and I can write down what they have, but
were they selling the furniture to you? I cannot remember. Were they selling the furnishings? Okay, so you're kind of a step ahead with that, having it semi-furnished.
Yeah, so it came fully furnished, silver, right down to silverware. But that being the case, I had no idea what was there because I didn't open all the drawers and stuff when we were doing our showings. So we went down and stayed, I think it was 3 nights, and took our kids with us too, because I think that was important to get them excited as to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And
you paid for this stay, correct?
Actually, we did not.
Okay.
Oh, good.
We did not. The seller, he just booked it as his
time. Wow.
Yeah. They were super sweet. And even with our lender snafu and stuff,
that's
great. They were super patient.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great news. All right.
And when you booked with them, even though they took care of the cost, did you still get to experience the property management welcome information and all those instructions? Or was it just you kind of just showed up and you knew how to get in?
For that one, we just showed up.
Okay.
But we actually have had interaction with the reservations and that sort of process as well. But for the December visit, that was just going through, writing down all the things we want to change.
Okay.
My husband determining that the mattresses were awful.
Which that's good that you decided it and not your
That's a great guess. Point. That's a great point.
It was just, man, staying in your own property. That is first step, especially if you're buying one that was already a rental.
Yeah.
Because like I counted how many glasses there were. I counted how many plates there were. We found out all the knives were horrible, but stuff like that you wouldn't notice unless you're actually staying there
and using them
and using it. Mm-hmm. Other things that we wanted to bring that we feel like, because we like to ski and we've done a lot of ski vacations, crock pots.
Mm.
Those are essential on a ski vacation because you put
throw it in there,
pulled pork in the crock pot, you go ski, and then dinner's done when you come back in because you're poofed and can't hardly walk.
Sure.
So that was great. So because our closing didn't happen on time, we had already planned, we wanted to do an actual ski vacation because we didn't ski when we were down there for those 3 days. We took measurements, did all that kind of stuff.
You were working.
We were working, yeah. And so we actually, because we didn't close on time, we had to call and book our own vacation in what would be our own house. And we had to pay for it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Hey, you're really getting the customer
experience.
There
you go.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny because when you call like the reservation line, you can go online and book your stuff, but we also needed to book lift tickets and things of that nature for the trip we wanted to do in February. So I called the reservation line and got that experience, which was fine. They will book you in anything or they'll book you in the specific unit that you want. But that, yeah, that was funny because after we closed, I had to call homeowner services and tell them we bought the unit. And then they did refund our money. They're like, you don't have to pay to stay in your own place. And I'm like, yeah, but if I didn't do that, it was going to be booked. And
that
I
wouldn't
have paid any lift tickets.
Oh, yeah. Really smart.
Explain this lift ticket to at least me. I've never been skiing a day in my life. So explain to me what this is.
I understand that it takes you up the hill, right? But yes. I mean, it's your credentials to be at the resort for the day. Mm-hmm. And if it's even just any time of the year, they do have max capacity on the mountain for safety purposes. So the mountain can sell out. However, I think what Shannon is referring to is more of the COVID time skiing. Shannon, do you want to go through what's happening now with COVID and really the race to get lift tickets?
Yes. So for them to maintain their needed spacing and meet the requirements they had been given, they had to do a limited number of lift tickets this year. And they sell season passes earlier. So depending on how many season passes they had sold, then they could only release a limited amount of lift tickets per day. Mm-hmm. And on the weekends would be your heaviest travel time.
Gotcha.
So for example, like if you go on their website right now, they've got up in the corner, it pops up as soon as you get on there. Right now, lift tickets for March 5th and 6th are sold out, and for March 13th. And at this point, we were going over President's Day weekend in February. So a huge holiday peak.
The biggest. I'd say it's probably the biggest ski weekend.
Yeah.
Besides Christmas,
New
Year's.
Are you a skier? For sure.
I worked at a ski resort.
Oh, wait. I was like, why do you... Ned is very confident right now next to me. And I'm like...
Listeners, this is a fun...
I didn't know.
You didn't know this. Fun fact. I worked at the 2002 Winter Olympics.
What?
Park City, Utah. And I worked at Deer Valley Resort, which, fun fact, Deer Valley is one of the only ski-only resorts left in the country. So you will not find a snowboarder there.
Oh. But are snowboarders like less than?
No, not less than. I will say it's a very storied ski resort, and I think it's safety. There are some feelings about skiers and snowboarders on the same mountains, and I think
feelings.
It's just what they and what the resort wanted to cater
to. Sure.
So
the Olympics,
cultural anthropology. I had this huge worldwide event in our country. I needed to be there. Yeah.
Oh
so
my gosh.
There you go.
Okay. Sorry guys, we had to take that detour. Real quick. I needed to know why Annette was so confident.
I knew. I can go through all of this.
Okay.
So all right.
Back to the story. You had to pay. You got refunded. You went in December. You took account of everything. Would you say there was a lot of stuff in December that you wanted to change or add or
not
subtract?
Up to par.
Yeah. And what were the big things other than the crock pot?
Yeah. What are aha moments? Tell our listeners.
Okay. So this condo, it actually burnt down in 1992. Or three.
Gosh. Your individual one or a block of buildings?
The entire strip.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm not sure what caused it. They were originally built in 1974, 1975. But the entire, it burned them to the ground. So I'm going to assume electrical, there are wood-burning fireplaces in them. So who knows?
Okay.
So it was rebuilt from the ground up. And the folks that we purchased from owned it at that time.
Okay.
They had owned it since 1992, I think. So for a long time. And a lot of the items in it were from 1995.
Sure.
And which was fine. But for what we want to do, and part of why we bought this is for our own personal use as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's a certain level of expectation that I have. And for the amount of money that you're paying to stay at these, I really feel like,
let's update these.
Yeah. I'm like, it needed to level
Are
up.
You saying like the couch is probably from 1995?
The mattress?
No, the couch had definitely been replaced at some point in the 2000s.
Okay.
But I'm talking like curtains.
Okay.
Ooh.
Comforters.
Ooh. Was there a lot of like rose like valances and dark green carpet?
Very Yes.
Yeah.
Stereotypical.
But wasn't I see it.
Was it like the bedroom furniture was white, like all the white, like plasticky with the.
Okay.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. So it was just, I'm sure it was very, very trendy when it was.
Yeah. And it didn't say that.
Rebuilt. But so there was a lot of stuff that needed the, all the decor needed to go. There were fake flowers for days. And I mean the dusty kind.
Right. Sure, sure, sure.
Not the.
So did you get rid of everything?
So funny story. When we went in February, I talked or conned my brother and my sister-in-law into going with us so I could use his pickup truck. And we took all new bedding. I ordered all new pictures for the walls, all new curtains. Shower curtains,
nice,
all that kind of stuff. And I mean, you know, bedding, it's just big and fluffy. And then the day we closed, my husband ordered two new queen mattresses that were shipped directly to the homeowner services.
What was his mattress of choice? I have to know.
Oh, shoot. I'd have to look. It was off of Amazon.
That's okay. Okay.
Oh, this is great. You can, you could ship it to homeowner services. They could receive it. And we'll get into that in a second, listeners, because in the first episode, Shannon was on the fence on if she was going to host or have the company host
for her.
So we'll chat about that once we get through the furnishings.
Okay. So mattresses, decor. So
mattresses, decor, bedding, new blankets. Curtains were the big ones. New TVs.
What were the TVs from the 90s too?
They were...
at the big box.
Oh, I should have brought one up. They were literally the size of your computer monitor.
Yeah.
In the bedrooms. Oh. I didn't even know they made TVs that small.
Gotcha. Oh, wow. Okay. It was like... Yeah.
And then in the living room did have a newer TV, probably from like 2015, 2016. Okay. So it wasn't too terrible. We wanted to wall mount all of them.
Sure.
We took wall mounts with us.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
Question though, Shannon, this sounds, and we might ask you dollar amounts later. This sounds like a large investment. Did you have this planned in your budget when you were going over the numbers with your husband in the beginning? Did you have this an allotment for furnishings already carved out?
Somewhat, probably not as much as I needed to, but when we went through and were looking, we knew if we went with this particular one,
you were
that
have to
there was going to be a capital investment involved. Just because, I mean, it was kind of easy to tell when we were walking through that it wasn't the level that we wanted. And that we would definitely want to take it to the next level.
But is that, and like, and I hope I'm not stepping on your toes here though. Are these improvements reflected now in your nightly rate? Has it changed yet? Or could you be making the same amount of money without making the upgrades? How did you flush those numbers out in your head?
So when I went down in February, I met with a representative from the resort. They have different levels of pricing. So they have an economy level, a standard, deluxe, and then what they call the Brigham Collection, which is like the creme de la creme. Right now, the one we bought is at the standard level. And so he went through with me because I knew we were going to do some improvements because it's just who I am.
Because you're staying there too. Like, yes, nightly rate reflection, and all of us, we want your capital improvements to make a difference, but also you're going to go stay there. You want to be surrounded by things that aren't dusty rows and tiny itty bitty TVs. So.
And if I'm advertising to my friends and family that we have this place, I want it to be somewhere I'm proud for them to go.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of them know like who I am. Like we bought a bank owned house that we live in. And over the past 6 years, we are always working on a project of some sort. And so this is going to be kind of more of the same, except I won't live in the construction zone, which is nice. So the representative from the resort walked through with me and told me what would needed to be upgraded to get to the deluxe level and then to the Brigham level.
Tell us, what were those things?
To get to the deluxe level, it was a lot of things like upgrading the faucets, the light fixtures, doing like the general updates that I think anybody would do mm-hmm. when you would be walking into a place that you felt was dated. Fresh paint, like the bathrooms are a peachy color that photographs really bad. So like, I just want to go to like a fresh, like Snowbound is one of my favorites from Sherwin-Williams.
Snowbound, yeah.
I want to I'm upgrading the shelving. So I want to go because it is a ski cottage and there is a lot of wood paneling, but that's the character of the place. So we want to go from it being wood and brass to wood and black. Mm-hmm. So like we ordered new knobs for all the kitchen counters and the bathroom counters or bathroom cabinets. We ordered black faucets, black lighting fixtures go above the vanities. We'll put in new mirrors. So two of the bathrooms I can update to a deluxe level for under, I think I'm at about $500 per bathroom.
Sure.
And did they give you pricing from standard to deluxe, what your nightly rate could increase to with those changes?
They gave me a ballpark of $30 to $40 a night.
Oh, wow. Great. Wow. That's so awesome. So good.
So what? I'm like, it'll take a little bit of time to recoup some of those funds. But I also think because you can see the photos online, because of it being a 4-bedroom unit, when you're looking at the other units, ours will stand out.
No, mm-hmm. I want to book yours over a Dusty Rose situation any day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So that's the other part of it too, is I feel like, I mean, they had really good bookings. COVID actually really helped out because everybody wants to go places they can drive to.
Yeah.
And this is an individual entrance. So, I mean,
nice.
Depending on how you set things up, I mean, the only people you have to interact with is the person that prints your lift tickets out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like it would be, I think it'll be well worth it. And it's stuff I would have done in the first place, which is why I wanted him to come in before I started doing stuff, because I tend to have champagne taste on a beer budget. So I'm like, if I'm going to make these changes for me, I want to make sure that I'm making the right kind of changes too,
yeah.
that will help me get a return.
And they'll last too. There's a quality too, because people are going to be using them. Okay. So the space is updated. And you did this on your second trip that you had to initially pay for, but you got refunded. Mm-hmm. Is the place, do you feel like it's good now? Like it's as updated as you think is no, we don't. She's shaking her head. Okay.
Well, the only reason is because we only had so much time when we were there before.
Yeah. 3 days isn't a lot of time.
Yeah. I squeaked in between bookings basically. So like from the point we left on like February 16th, and it's been booked solid until mid-March.
Okay.
So I have a trip planned in April, which is definitely like down season, where I will be going. I have also roped in my mom and maybe my sister-in-law, and we're going to be loading up the cars and taking down paint, all the stuff I've bought for the bathrooms, because I couldn't level up the bathrooms when I was there before.
Oh, okay.
So like, if you could see the room I'm in right now, I've got lighting fixtures everywhere.
Oh, I know that life. That's a good life. That's a good life.
So, and then I've been getting quotes on carpet because it needs new carpet upstairs. Okay. All the bedrooms have different colored carpet.
Oh, interesting.
Like pink and
blue. Of course, pink's in there. And so then when will pictures happen again so you can have these deluxe prices? When will that all happen?
So I'm hoping to get the pictures done by early May.
Okay.
Because the summer season starts May 27th. So the sooner that I can get the updated pictures online, hopefully the more bookings that we'll get for the summer.
Have they already started summer bookings, or do they not even open for summer until a certain threshold?
They don't release their bookings for summer. I mean, you can if you call.
Okay.
Like we do have a booking for July on the books right now.
Mm-hmm.
But summer will be interesting. They said last year was the best summer they'd had because of COVID. Mm. Because it's not necessarily a huge summer destination, although I think it's getting to be more that way because they also have mountain biking, and it's a silver rated mountain biking destination now, which they use the lifts for, which I can't personally wait to see somebody getting their bike on a lift. Mm. And then there's a lake with water activities and stuff too. So I'm expecting to have a pretty good summer just with the lingering effects of COVID and things like that. I think people will be doing drivable family things.
Does your management company, do they leverage online travel agencies? Can you book these places on Airbnb and Vrbo and HomeAway? It's just directly through them.
It's just directly through them. And it's in their agreement that you won't put it on other places simply because it's hard to manage all those calendars for them. So I do plan on at some point doing it on my own. Mm-hmm. But for right now, we're going to stay with the snowshoe management program for a couple different reasons. A big one being that because of the limited number of lift tickets that they're allowed to sell, I believe at least through next winter, winter 2021-22, that they are still going to be the main source that people go to book their
Meaning the same company, the resort company that both runs the lifts and the elected condos. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So they run, there's multiple condo communities on the mountain. And if you opt in, they run hundreds of units up there.
Gotcha.
You can do it through Airbnb. And I have looked at some of those units. But I noticed this winter that like the first wording the host had was make sure you book your lift tickets, because I don't know this for a fact, but what I assume is happening is people would book their housing, not think to book their lift tickets, thinking like in previous years, they could just get there and go get their lift tickets and be good. And I'm thinking they might've run into some cancellation requests because lift tickets were selling out weeks in advance.
Right.
So I think we're going to do that at least one more year. And then I just found this out last week. It's in Pocahontas County, which I find so funny, but, I got a letter from their assessor. They have a 6%, like hotel tax basically. Mm-hmm. And the snowshoe actually pays that for us.
Nice.
So, which is a nice little bonus.
Sure.
Considering the amount of like fees that we pay, but
right,
it's just one less thing I have to worry about at this moment.
Walk back through though, just so we can circle back to our first episode, because you really were on the fence about, you know, using the management company, because the way, you know, when we all first chatted, it sounded like you were excited to become a host and a very direct host. But when you sat down, what were some of those key like factors when you're like, you know what, I'm definitely going to go with a management company at this point in time? What were some things that you were just like, no brainers, we're going to go this route for right now?
Well, I think the first thing is that I'm really, I don't want to say in over my head, because I'm not really in over my head, but trying to remodel the unit from afar is a lot because I'm 6 hours away.
Right.
So, and I need to buy new furniture. The next time we go, I'll probably have four or five mattresses waiting at homeowner services and beds to build and things like that. So a lot of it is I'm doing a lot of the sweat equity and doing a lot of the work myself. So to actually get properly set up, I feel like I would probably not do as good of a job with that.
Yeah, you have a partner. You have a team essentially instead of just trying to do it all on your own.
The other thing being the lift ticket situation, because that is I think that's a big factor in how many bookings I would have in general. Mm-hmm. If their first initiative, if they have to call the resort or go online and book their lift ticket anyway,
right,
I might as well be right there in the same place instead of hoping that they go to two different places. Mm-hmm. My end goal is to self-manage it. And I would love to get another one or two of these properties if the numbers make sense. Because one thing we've definitely realized is that the unit we bought, if we go as a family of four, we don't need a four bedroom place. So I would love to get maybe, you know, a two or a three bedroom that would maybe be something we would use more often if we go by ourselves instead of with extended family or groups of friends and things like that.
So if you want to eventually end up hosting, knowing that it's a nice one-stop shop for your guests and our numbers are already apparently working enough to for it to be make sense now, what is it about you hosting that you would hope to change or take control of? Or is it just the experience itself?
I think a little bit is the experience itself. And be okay, a little bit of it's just being in control, right? Like I
okay. Yeah,
have my own thing, yeah. Be able to put, you know, do my own wording. And I haven't gotten into it that much to know how much of that I can control through the management company or if they just do their own wording and I'm stuck with what they say.
Uh-huh. When you say wording, are you talking about like the copy on your listing, how it's presented?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And part of it is if I can really build something great down there, I would love that I've got multiple listings of my own on my own site.
Mm-hmm.
And
that ownership.
And that ownership. And I would like to expand it somewhere, you know, elsewhere. Like my husband would love for us to buy somewhere warm next time.
Gotcha.
You know, the vision of what I have for the future would have me bringing it in-house. But baby steps, taking those baby steps.
Do you know any other owners that self-manage there who might be able to, where you could like swap numbers or war stories? Like, is it pretty equal? Like, does it matter that people don't go to the management company and they're still getting booked up? Is there a way to connect with, or do you plan on doing that?
I would like to reach out to some of those owners. There seems to be a pretty good community there. So I just haven't gotten to meet a lot of those folks.
Sure.
But everybody I've met so far has been so forthcoming with information and like who to call and who will fix this. And that's the other caveat with the resort management company is that they have a maintenance crew.
Oh,
nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which right now has been super important for me because there's been a couple things that have happened that I'm not there. Like I don't have a contact there yet. I'm hoping over doing the remodeling and things we're doing now, I'll build some of those relationships. Mm-hmm. So that is an important piece too, that is provided by them. For example, so I want to put overhead lighting in all the bedrooms. That's a personal pet peeve of mine. It drives me nuts when there isn't overhead lighting in a bedroom. So all I had to do was email homeowner services and was like, this is what I want to do in the off season. And he's like, great. I'll reach out to the electrical team, get you a quote and get you scheduled. And I'm like, great. But the other thing with me going through the management program doesn't mean I have to use their cleaners.
Oh, okay.
So, it's an option you can do, but I opted to stick with the third party that was currently cleaning the condo.
Cool.
It made sense just because things were already booked and already in motion. Now, whether I'll do some interviewing and some shopping around this summer, I'm sure I will. But that was an important key because there were already bookings that needed taken care of. And I did meet her in person when I was down there in December. That was something else. Because on the mountain, there's no cell service. It makes it very hard to get a hold of people. So when I'm in town and I tell them I'm there, people just stop by and they're like, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
So it was nice. I got to meet the cleaner face to face and she explained to me their COVID procedures. For example, they're required to have all the linens commercially laundered. So, the fitted sheets and the bed sheets and pillowcases, those were things I thought I'd have to buy and replace. Just thinking that would be my responsibility. But actually, because of COVID and the way they're laundering things, she's like, nope, that's actually a contract we have. They're commercially laundered at the bottom of the mountain. You know, she was telling me their procedures for coming in and spraying each of the rooms, and then they leave for 3 hours. So it was very informative because that's all things I had no idea how they handled it. Mm-hmm. And so it was very helpful to learn their their processes and things like that.
Well, this is great. I mean, so you're all set up essentially. Now you have, you know, maybe another round or two of updating, but bookings are coming in. You're sticking with the management company and you'll have time to work on some things that you can control in terms of, you know, the interior space and just getting to know the community while this management company handles everything else. And then, and that can change over the course of a year or two.
Yeah, that's the plan. I would love to, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years, depending on how this all pans out, I would love to buy a couple more units down there, maybe get a couple beach properties, maybe do some stuff locally a little closer to home. We'll see how it all goes. But
you open up Shannon's short stays. Yeah, I can see it now.
So you're feeling good, though. I mean, that's what I think. That's what we want to let our listeners know is, you know, in the first episode, you were like had the idea and just went to look at places. So I think it's good for them to kind of see
how much can change.
Still during, we're still allowed to talk about COVID. It's still happening, and you know, people are making some big decisions, which are great, and moving things forward.
Yeah. So you're a vacation rental owner, Shannon. Yeah, are you congrats. So excited?
I am. And our first trip, we had so much fun and we did a big toast with the kids and my nephew and, you know, just cheers to making a lot of memories and things together. So we're really excited about it for sure. And it's fun having the kids excited too. Like we're picking out bunk beds to put in the one room and I'm putting in triple bunks. So I have places for both my kids and my nephew and they're all telling me what they want.
That is fun.
I'm like, you don't get a vote. You're not paying, but you're cute.
But to keep them, you know, involved is also great. It's a family investment too. I mean, so that's why I know Annette and I are super pumped for you. And thanks so much for sharing your journey and your story with our listeners. So many of our listeners, I know a lot of you guys are already owning and hosting, or maybe you're like Shannon and you're just thinking about buying other properties. So you've got management in place. And some of you have yet to take that first step. And so we hope that Shannon's story was inspirational to you. And Shannon, if our listeners wanted to learn more about you and get in touch with you about either staying in your spot or chatting about your experience, how can they do that?
They can follow me at happyshamrock68 on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm also on there as a real estate agent too. It's at Shannon_realestatelife.
And
you can also find me on Facebook as well.
Okay. We'll make sure to put this in the show notes also.
Yes. All right, listeners. Well, thanks for joining us and on this two-part story with Shannon. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us. It's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.